Good morning and welcome into this midweek edition of The Daily Perspective. Hello there, Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. Hoping that so far your week has been good, and now that we've hit hump day, you can smile a bit because you know it's all downhill from here. Wow, wow, wow. So I wasn't here yesterday. Let's go ahead and take care of that first. As I told you one day last week, I believe it was Friday of last week, might have been Thursday of last week, I'm now on the team helping to produce the Dawson Now podcast. Scott Dawson, you might recognize him. He's been in evangelism for years, for a long time, and he ran for governor of the state of Alabama last year, and he's an old friend, and he asked if I would step in and help and be a producer for his podcast. And I said, sure, I'd be glad to help. And so I've spent the past couple of days at his rather nice studio, getting a grip on how things are done there, because equipment is different, processes are different and the like. So just getting a handle on how things are, jotting down passwords, login IDs, things like that, making sure that I can get into everything I need to get into to make it happen, because I'm stepping in to take over for someone else who's been doing it for about a year. And so yesterday we were supposed to start 10-ish, 9:30 to 10 yesterday morning, which meant there was no way that I could actually get this live podcast finished. And given the vagaries of traffic in this area, on my route to the studio, I was not going to take a chance. I've always been of the philosophy that you get somewhere early, because if you get there early, you can solve problems before an event starts. So that's just been my as a guy who's worked in the background for things for years, you always get to the venue early. So that's my philosophy. So I just looked at things and thought, there's no way I can make it there and fulfill that commitment if there are traffic issues or the like along the route. So plus, the interstate system in Birmingham right now looks like the Jolly Green Giant has stomped on it downtown. It's just a royal mess, and everything is just horrible, and it takes longer to get everywhere. So I just had to make a judgment call, and since I had made this commitment, I said, you know what, I'll just skip the day and take care of that, and then in the future, we'll make arrangements so I know I've got time. And as this kind of thing goes, you know how it is. And you, being an adult, you know what it means to be responsible and to be somewhere on time. You also know what it's like to be responsible and be there on time, and the other party you're on time there for has a glitch and they're not. And that happened to me yesterday. So I sat in the lobby on my iPad, making notes, typing things out that I wanted to take care of, making sure I had everything that was in my brain basically essentially on paper, electronically speaking, so that I knew what I was getting. I was going to have to ask for things I was going to have to do, you know, all the things that I would need to make sure that the T's were crossed and the I's were dotted on yesterday. And I spent that time waiting for them. And what happened was that they had an event yesterday. It's a big pastor's breakfast it's Pastor's Month. And so the SDEA group was hosting a big pastor's breakfast, and they've been doing it for quite a while. I was at every one of them for years. And I was responsible for sound and lights and video and the likes. And so this time they were there and their speaker ran long. And and so it threw everybody behind. So I sat there in the lobby waiting on everybody to get there for quite a while. And I actually could have finished up and done what I had to do here in the amount of time I spent waiting there. So that's how life works. Anyway, we're here today. Life is back to quasi-normal, and we're pressing forward with things that are pressing on us. And I don't know about what's pressing on you, but wow. Our life in the United States, if you're not here in the U.S., if you're listening, I know we have some people who listen in the U.K. and some other countries, and And I say we because it's me and the dog. But but here in the U.S., we're watching the most bizarre episode of political theater unfold in front of our eyes. We're watching the Democrats, who are desperate for political power. We're watching them hold kangaroo court and try to remove a sitting president from office because they know that at the next election, they can't defeat him. It started out when he defeated their candidate in 2016, when they thought it could never happen. And I've said this before, I firmly believe that they were so confident because they had rigged everything to their satisfaction and thought there was no way they could lose. All the polls that they trust said they couldn't lose. All the pundits that they trust said they couldn't lose. And then they lost. On election night, you saw news team after news team downcast, shocked, amazed. There's no way Donald Trump could have beaten Hillary Rodham Clinton, and he did. He got enough electoral votes, and to be honest, it was an electoral landslide. The vote of individuals, which we have never counted in this country, there is no such thing in our elections, our presidential elections, as the popular vote, because that's not our system, it's not the law. Every state must have fair and equal representation when it comes to the vote for president. And so the Electoral College was created in order to make that happen. And that was done, if I can do a quick look back into history, that was done so that densely populated areas could not have total sway over an election and determine policies which would be bad for less densely populated areas. So, New York, L.A., and the like, those cities with dense populations on the coasts, they would vote for things that they thought would be great for everybody, but they would have no idea how it would affect people in middle America, in flyover country, because they can't relate to those people because they don't live there, have never been there, and just fly over it whenever they travel. So, our founders were wise enough to establish a system that guaranteed that the people in flyover country were not adversely affected at presidential election time, and they were more fairly represented. And as a result, we have the Electoral College. Well, the Electoral College vote was an overwhelming vote for Donald Trump. And they were shocked. I believe they thought they had it in the bag, and they were completely shocked. And on election day, the press even said, the push for the impeachment of Donald Trump begins today. And so they've been working on trying to blow as many holes in everything about him as possible and make him look as bad as possible since day one. It's all been political theater. It's all been the machinations of a group of people who couldn't win an election. And if you look at the prospects for 2020, their prospects, they can't win the next one. Because when you look at the clown car, the crazies that are up for their candidacy for president for 2020, it's fairly obvious. They know they can't win if they're going up against Donald Trump. So, they're going to do everything they can, if at all possible, by any stretch of the imagination, to make sure he's not in office when the election rolls around. That's what they're trying to do. So, with that in mind, let's move forward. First up, there was an exciting announcement yesterday, late yesterday, about someone who is joining the president's legal team. Trey Gowdy will serve as an outside counsel for the President of the United States. The bulldog, the guy who took no crap off of anybody during the Benghazi hearings, will join the Trump legal team. This is incredible news. because he's not going to take anything off of these Democrats when they try to doublespeak, when they try to obfuscate, when they lie. It's going to be very entertaining at the very least. At the very least. And President Trump, according to the Washington Times, they said they called the White House impeachment probe partisan and unconstitutional and said President Trump will not cooperate until Democrats come up with a fair process that respects his rights. The move came hours after the administration blocked Gordon Sondland, the U.S. ambassador to the European Union, from testifying before a closed-door session of the impeachment probe. Democrats said preventing Mr. Sondland from testifying was only adding fuel to their case for impeachment on the basis of obstructing an investigation, and they issued a subpoena to compel him to appear. But the White House said the House is operating without any rules, and until it writes guidelines that are fair to all sides, the president and his team won't play ball. Quote, President Trump and his administration reject your baseless, unconstitutional efforts to overturn the democratic process. Your unprecedented actions have left the president with no choice. That comes from White House counsel Pat Cipollone. He wrote to the House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, and three Democratic committee chairmen. He went on to say, in order to fulfill his duties to the American people, the Constitution, the executive branch, and all future occupants of the office of the presidency, President Trump and his administration cannot participate in your partisan and unconstitutional inquiry under these circumstances. You have to understand that the Democrats are not following precedent. They have not held a House floor vote so that everybody, Democrats and Republicans, can weigh in officially on whether or not there should be an investigation. Now, it's a given that since the House is controlled by the Democrats, they would win that vote. So why not have it? Here's why. Because if they have that vote, they actually have to include the Republicans in everything that goes on. They can't shut them out. If they don't have the vote, they can shut the Republicans out and shut the Republicans up. And they don't have to allow the Republicans to be involved. So they're sidestepping. They're sidestepping so that they can have their way. We're seeing story after story, hearing report after report of how the Democrats are ignoring the Republicans, essentially telling them to sit down and shut up because this is their ball game. It's their ball. They're going to make the rules. This is what they've done. And until such a time as they will operate by legal precedent and do this by the book, the president has said no. In order to protect the office of the presidency and the White House, and it now and in the future, from this sort of strong-arm tactic, I will not allow anyone from here to testify there. Nope. It's not going to happen. He's not going to play ball. He said the Democrats' impeachment effort seems less an attempt to defend the Constitution and more an effort to overturn the results of the 2016 election and deprive the American people of the president they have freely chosen. And he's absolutely right. The 8-page letter is so far the administration's most scathing and thorough rebuttal to the inquiry, all but daring House Democrats to advance articles of impeachment, essentially almost saying, I dare you, go ahead. Just go ahead. And there are people who are saying that. Just go ahead. Because they know that once they actually do that and it moves through the House into the Senate, there will be an extremely brief session in the Senate covering this and it will go away. Because there's no way it'll get through the Republican-controlled Senate. Mitch McConnell has essentially said as much. So this is the latest chapter in the continuing saga of presidential impeachment. The Democrats will never be satisfied with anything less than complete power and control. The days of the Democrats and Republicans working together towards common goals is now in the history books. It doesn't exist anymore. When they talk about bipartisanship and working together, they're lying. Because to Democrats, bipartisanship means you shut up and do what I tell you to do. You play nice and sit in the corner and be quiet and we'll just take care of everything. No, don't bother. You can't, no, we don't need your opinion. No, that's okay. We've got it all under control here. You just play nice and we'll get back to you in case we ever need anything. But hey, don't hold your breath because we really won't. Welcome back into the Daily Perspective. Hi there. Glad you're along today. I'm scanning through social media this morning and I run across something from a cousin of mine. And she just posted this meme. It says, how to tell you're an adult. You gain 30 pounds overnight. You'd rather sleep than go out. Everything hurts. Honey, you have no idea. Comfort comes before style. Ain't that the truth? You have a favorite spatula. Everything feels like a chore. College students look like 12-year-olds. And you're always annoyed. God, that is so true. It is so true. That one, the comfort comes before style. I cannot tell you the number of times I have stood in like a shoe store or a sporting goods store where they have athletic shoes and the like, and stood there and actually had my hands on a pair of sneaks thinking about, God, those are cool. I really love the way they look. And then I go put them on and stand in front of the mirror to see, you know, how they fit and what they look like. And then look up and go, yeah, the old guy doesn't need to wear the cool shoes. I'm just going to look like some old guy trying to be cool. Let's put these back on the shelf. Oh, my gosh. It's so, so true. Oh, thanks, Jennifer, for that. That's just awesome. Oh, gosh. Well, the House Appropriations, a Democrat member of the House Appropriations Committee, as a result of everything that's going on, as a result of Trump's letter, his refusal to cooperate, he's made his own threat. he has threatened to withhold executive branch pay over the canceled testimony of a U.S. diplomat amid the House's ongoing impeachment efforts. This is coming to us from The Blaze. Tuesday morning, President Donald Trump said that U.S. Ambassador to the European Union, Gordon Sondland, would not appear at a planned deposition that was part of House Democrats' ongoing impeachment efforts because he didn't want the official to be subject to a compromised kangaroo court. That afternoon, Democrat from Wisconsin, Representative Mark Polkin, sent a letter to Secretary of State Mike Pompeo claiming that the White House's decision violated federal law passed earlier this year, and that whomever was responsible for it could have their pay withheld. In the letter, he cited a section of federal appropriations law passed in February that prohibits paying the salary of any, quote, officer or employee of the federal government who prohibits or prevents any other officer or employee of the federal government from communication or contact with any member, committee, or subcommittee of the Congress. He says, I believe the person prohibiting Ambassador Sondland from testifying before the House Intelligence Committee is in violation of this statute and that their salaries should be withheld until Ambassador Sondland appears before Congress. Now, Polkan sits on three appropriations subcommittees. He goes on to say, we refuse to bankroll this administration while they hold witnesses hostage. Sondland must testify on Ukraine. He tweeted that after sending the letter out. That's interesting. Now, Sondland's attorney said in a statement, early this morning, the U.S. Department of State directed Ambassador Gordon Sondland not to appear today for his scheduled transcribed interview before the U.S. House Representatives Joint Committee. And he added that the ambassador had agreed to testify voluntarily in order to answer the committee's questions on an expedited basis. As a sitting ambassador, the statement explains, Sondland is bound to State Department policy. Later Tuesday morning, the Democratic chairman of the committees that Sondland was scheduled to testify before responded to the administration's decision by announcing that they would subpoena Sondland for both his testimony and his documents. That's pretty interesting because they can issue subpoenas all they'd like to, but they don't have an official investigation because they're not following legal precedent in what they're doing. And I have a feeling that will come back to bite them. Bless their hearts. Now, speaking of testifying, if this moves forward and goes to the Senate, now I got to be honest with you, I've said this before and I'll say it again now. If it goes to the Senate, I will be surprised. Because I think what these people want is to drag this out as far as possible, as long as possible, and make it as dirty as possible. Because their cohorts in the progressive press are helping them paint this picture that they want painted of our president to make him look like a lying criminal. So it works to their advantage for this to drag out as long as possible. Because if it goes to the Senate, then it's all over. And the Senate will rightfully and legally basically just flush this down the toilet. Well, Democrats are ecstatic that they've successfully forced an impeachment inquiry against President Trump, even though it's unconstitutional what they're doing. But it all may backfire on them and their front-runner candidate as well. Former Vice President Joe Biden and his son Hunter are caught up in their own mess in Ukraine. While the allegation against Trump is that he demanded a quid pro quo from the Ukrainian president, trying to trade millions in U.S. aid for a favor, Hunter Biden was paid $50,000 or $85,000, depending on your sources, each month for his work with Ukraine's largest private gas company in Ukraine. Sidebar. He had no prior experience in this field. None. And yet, his work was worth $50,000 to $85,000 a month. Oh, really? Should impeachment pass the House, and that is expected with Democrats solidly in control, the Senate would then hold a trial to decide whether to remove Trump from office. Republicans would then call witnesses to testify. And experts expect Joe and Hunter Biden to take the stand. One Senate staffer told the Washington Times, I don't think the Dems have thought this through very well at all. Hunter Biden made hundreds of thousands of dollars through his employment with Burisma, despite having no known qualifications for the job. And after a prosecutor began looking into the company, then Vice President Biden demanded that the prosecutor be fired. Biden is on tape discussing his push for the Ukrainian government to fire Viktor Shokin, bragging he'd threatened to withhold $1 billion until Shokin was canned. He says, and I quote, if the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. And then he says, well, you've seen it on the news. He said, well, son of a bitch, he got fired. And he says it with a smile on video. Former Democratic Senator Robert Torricelli, said last week that the Ukraine allegations are going to hurt Biden. He says it's hard to imagine a Democratic primary electorate witnessing this spectacle of $50,000 a month to Hunter Biden, the contradictory information about whether there was a consultation with him and his father, the rather unseemly view of this, that the Democratic primary electorate is going to decide this is our guy, said the former senator from New Jersey. Senator Rand Paul said senators could have a tough time differentiating what Trump is accused of doing from what Biden actually admits to doing. He says, I think if you look at it objectively, have Republicans or Democrats threatened aid in the past if they didn't get what they want? Sounds like that's what Joe Biden did. Sounds like that's what four Democratic senators did. It sounds like what Senator Chris Murphy did a month ago. And then someone accused the president of the same thing. The Times said, in addition to Biden possibly being forced to testify, so could many of his chief rivals, the half dozen senators also vying for the Democrats' presidential nomination. That's according to impeachment experts. For that matter, if the House chooses to impeach Mr. Trump on charges stemming from the special counsel's Russia investigation, aides said it could open the door to witnesses such as fired FBI agent Peter Strzok, or even major figures from the Obama administration. Mr. Trump could even be present for the entire spectacle. Experts said the Senate would have a hard time refusing him if he demanded to confront the witnesses against him. He would be legally entitled, that's for certain. All this insanity going on. Whistleblowers. Oh, whistleblowers. That reminds me. The Washington Examiner says the whistleblower has a professional relationship with one of those 2020 Democrat candidates we were just talking about. A professional relationship with a Democratic candidate for president. The more we learn, the more twisted this all becomes. What a tangled web we weave when we practice to deceive. That's probably engraved on the Democrat restroom walls in Washington, D.C. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Hi there, Mark Congleton here, handling hosting duties, sitting behind the big microphone, watching all the lights and things blink, and just basically amazed that we're living through times that we are in the United States of America, the greatest nation on the face of the earth, a nation responsible for millions of people, multiple millions of people being alive and healthy today who would not be were we not here. That is just fact, not just opinion. That's fact. I was skimming social media during the break, ran across this, and I think it's interesting. I'm not going to read all of it to you because it ventures off into na-na land towards the end, but I do want to read you the pertinent parts of this. It says, if you have food in your fridge, clothes on your body, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the entire world. And that's life in the United States of America. You have food in your fridge, clothes on your body, a roof over your head, a place to sleep. You are richer than 75% of the entire world. If you have money in your wallet and you can go anywhere you want, you're among 18% of the world's most wealthy people. That describes, generally speaking, what it is to be an American. You have money in your wallet and you can go anywhere you want. And that makes you among 18% of the world's most wealthy people. If you're alive today and healthy, you're more blessed than the millions of people who will not survive this week and will die. That's life in the United States of America. You're alive and you're healthy. There are millions of people in this world who will not survive this week. They will die. Since this is posted online, it says, if you can actually read and understand this message, you are more fortunate than the 3 billion people in the world who are blind, deaf, or illiterate. That last one is the kicker. Illiterate. There are people all around the world who can't read road signs, billboards, forget books, forget anything online, Twitter, Facebook. There are billions of people around the world who can't read, And here in the United States of America, you take it for granted. You don't even think about it. It's like breathing. It's just part of life. Welcome to the United States of America, the greatest nation on earth. Don't let the leftists, the progressives, browbeat you and convince you that you should feel guilty for it either. Because we've worked for what we have. We have built what we have from the ground up. We have followed principles our founders put in place, which made us great. There is no reason for guilt. Have we made some mistakes? Yes. Have we done some terrible things? Yes, we have under Democrat administrations. We have. We've imprisoned people of Japanese descent. We put Indian people, Native Americans, on reservations. We broke promises to them under Democrat administrations. We have killed our own under Democrat administrations. But by and large, there's no apologizing for the United States of America, regardless of how intensely the left would want us to do so. It is the greatest nation on earth. Moving forward, let's get back into this mess again. Senate Republicans are hosting their own challenge to the House Democrats' impeachment inquiry by inviting President Trump's personal attorney, Rudolph W. Giuliani, to come testify on Ukraine. This was announced by Senator Lindsey Graham yesterday morning. This is coming to us from the Washington Times. Mr. Graham, chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, said he plans on allowing Mr. Giuliani to come before his committee to discuss the disturbing allegations about corruption in Ukraine and many improprieties surrounding the firing of former Prosecutor General Viktor Shokin. Quote, given the House of Representatives' behavior, it is time for the Senate to inquire about corruption and other improprieties involving Ukraine. This is from a tweet by Senator Lindsey Graham. Senator Dianne Feinstein, the top-ranking Democrat on the Judiciary Committee, who believes that it's legal to hunt humans, said she would love the chance to ask Mr. Giuliani about the role he played in seeking the Ukrainian government's assistance to investigate one of the president's political rivals, which is not what was happening. She said in a statement, Democratic members have plenty of questions for Mr. Giuliani, and this would give us an opportunity to help separate fact from fiction for the American people. House Democrats are centering their impeachment inquiry on allegations that Mr. Trump and his officials attempted to pressure Ukraine into opening an investigation into the Biden family. Republicans are defending the president's actions, arguing there should be an investigation into the allegations surrounding former VP Joseph Biden and the business dealings of his son Hunter. They've also taken to slamming the Democrats' entire process as a sham investigation, demanding that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi suspend the inquiry until the House holds a formal vote to authorize and establish equal power among the parties. Mr. Giuliani has also been subpoenaed by the House Democrats as part of their impeachment investigation. Democratic members have plenty of questions for Mr. Giuliani and would give us an opportunity to help separate fact from fiction for the American people. You know, I hope this happens, and I hope it's on TV. I hope it's on the news, on C-SPAN or something, so the American people can actually watch how the Democrats operate again. You remember the Kavanaugh hearings? You remember those Democrats who spent all of their time condemning Brett Kavanaugh for something that there was no proof that he did? He was accused of things with no evidence, no proof, no corroboration. And the Democrats all just assumed his guilt. and demanded that he address his guilt and apologize for his guilt. Due process was not anything they were thinking about. And they're not thinking about due process now. They don't care about the law. The Democrats care about power and control. That's what the Democrats care about. And when they get caught playing around behind the scenes, enjoying the power and control that they have whenever they're in power, they deflect. And they assign their guilt to other people. Oh, yeah, well, look what he's doing. Well, this is not about them. It's about you. Over at HermanCain.com, you remember Herman Cain. He's got a great little news website, and he comes through with some great stuff from time to time. And he says, Robert Laurie, he's written this article. It says, from the beginning of the Hunter Biden Ukraine oil company story, former VP Joe Biden has maintained that he and his son never discussed the matter. It's always been hard to believe. The son of the vice president was being paid $83,000 a month by Ukrainian oil oligarchs, despite having absolutely no experience in the field, and his very powerful father was kept in the dark? Well, that's a big pill to swallow. Then President Trump posted a Nickelback meme featuring a photo of the Bidens golfing with a foreign gas exec, and it became even tougher to buy the official line. You've seen it. We talked about it before. There's the Ukraine gas exec, Hunter, Joe, and a fourth guy out on the links. Not sure what they were talking about during their 18 holes, but it doesn't take a tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist to think that business might have come up. As author Peter Schweitzer said last month, it sounds an awful lot like someone was selling access and influence. Hunter Biden even told the New Yorker that his father had expressed concerns about what he was doing. There's more to this story. We'll come back to it after the break. There's a lot going on. And it looks like Joe and Hunter are just as dirty as the Democrats are saying the Republicans are. And this is business as usual for professional politicians on the left. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Hey, before we go any further, I want to go back to something and clarify it. I made a comment about Dianne Feinstein believing it's legal to hunt humans. And that comes from a statement she made some time back. And I'm not making it up, and I want to play it for you. Here's what she said.
Time has come, America, to step up and ban these weapons. The other very important part of this bill is to ban large capacity ammunition feeding devices, those that hold over 10 rounds. We have federal regulations and state laws that prohibit hunting ducks with more than 3 rounds, and yet it's legal to hunt humans.
Yep. She actually said that. And this is part of her gun control push. She's trying to limit the number of rounds that you can put into a magazine and the like. And it's all under the big lie about assault weapons. But she kind of offhandedly says, you know, we have laws about hunting ducks, but it's legal to hunt humans. No, it's not. It never has been. It never will be. But she's using hyperbole. She's using shock to make her point and to persuade people who are, bless their hearts, very easy to persuade. They're afraid, they're emotional, and they're easily manipulated. And as usual, progressives love those people because they are easily manipulated. And that goes back to the root of what we're watching happen right now in D.C. with the Democrats who keep flinging things against the wall to see what will stick. And the more emotional, the better. When you charge someone of lying constantly every day, when you lie about someone else and you make that lie, you seat that lie in an emotional context, then there is a certain number of people who will believe you just because you've played upon their emotions. And progressives are experts at doing this. You just look back on what they've persuaded people to do, the laws they've persuaded people to approve, the people that have run for mayor, for governor, for offices from all different levels, and their campaigns based upon emotion, emotional lies. They persuade enough people with emotion, not rational, not reason, just emotion, and they get what they're after. And that's what we're seeing happen in D.C. right now, as the Democrats make accusations, baseless accusations, and now they're hosting kangaroo court. Let's get back to the article we were talking about from HermanCain.com. Now there's a new wrinkle. During an appearance on MSNBC, Joe Biden's deputy campaign manager, Kate Bedingfield, dropped a bombshell. In 2014, the Obama White House gave Hunter Biden the green light to serve on the oil company's board. Hallie Jackson asked, there were unfounded claims against him. For example, in this Washington Post report, he writes, and we read it, he talks about, he will not go after my family, he will not take down my family or destroy my family, but he doesn't get explicit about Hunter himself. Why is that, Kate? And Bedingfield replies, he's been asked, and he said, look, every single independent outlet that's looked into this has said there was no issue of wrongdoing here. And you know, in 2014, the White House cleared Hunter serving on that board. So he has absolutely been asked that question, and he's answered it many times. She then went on a tangent about how the Biden campaign refuses to play by Trump's rules, whatever that means. The simple facts are these. The vice president's son was making $83,000 a month to do something for an oil company run by Ukrainian oligarchs. Biden claims he didn't know anything about the gig. In a normal family, that would be hard to believe. In a family where the patriarch is second in line to the most powerful political position in the world, it's virtually impossible to believe. When you learn that the White House knew and cleared Hunter Biden for the job, it strains credibility way past the breaking point. Does anyone really think the White House would have cleared the VP's son for a job like this, and the vice president would know nothing about it? The lie that they never discussed this is so transparent that you just have to be willing, hoping, beyond hope, that it's true in order to believe it. It goes against the grain of human nature. But those who really, really, really want to believe it are going to believe it. I refer you to my statement earlier about emotional campaigning, emotional politics. You play the emotions, you persuade people who are emotionally manipulated, easily manipulated with their emotions. I've shared a story once in the past, maybe more than once in the past, about a job I had a long, long, long time ago. I worked for a guy who was a small business owner whose method of management was emotional disruption. He used to keep everybody on their toes and shook up. That's how he maintained control. Because if you weren't shook up, you could be calm and rational and understand that this guy was a manipulator. And at that point, you would probably start looking for another job and you'd leave. And it was not an easy place to work because there was always emotional turmoil, especially with the girls that worked in this place. And there was one young lady who about once, maybe twice a week, you'd find her sitting at her desk in tears because something had really rattled her cage and rattled it really badly, and she was upset. And this is a job. She's got to have the money. She's got a car payment. You know, she's got to work. And she's got to get up every morning and go into work knowing it's an emotional hellhole. And once or twice a week, she would be very upset about something because she would have made a tiny mistake of some kind and been just raked over the coals for it. And one day I walked in, she's sitting in the office, and she is unnaturally calm. She is at peace in a way that I honestly had not seen her at work ever. And I moved in close, and I said, "What's up?" She said, "Oh, I figured him out." "Oh? Yeah. He pushes your buttons and gets you upset. That's how he controls you. He's not going to do it to me anymore." By the end of the day, she'd been fired because he could no longer control her. That is the kind of manipulation we see going on from the left in Washington, D.C. right now. They're keeping people emotionally upset. They're making accusations, grand accusations, with no basis in fact, no substantiation. And they're conducting a kangaroo court under the guise, under the banner of impeachment, when they have not followed precedent in order to do it properly. And that's who wants to be president next, the Democrats. Thank God they won't be.
Oh, we're done.